All right, time for headlines. We call it the scoop. Clinton and I are going to hit some things that we didn't have time to talk about earlier in the show. Most of our time today has been spent on the NBA schedule release. The Lakers will play the Clippers on July 30th at 6 o'clock in Orlando in a nationally televised game on TNT. Boy, cannot wait, cannot wait. All right, so every day, Clinton.
Yeah.
Different leagues are releasing dates. And, you know, I just mentioned the NBA released their schedule of when things are scheduled to happen. I'm going to read you a list of 10 things. Just give me a percentage chance that these things happen on time. Okay.
Okay.
July 24th, Major League Baseball begins. What percentage chances? Oh, wow. That's low. July 30th, the NHL begins.
75.
July 30th, the NBA starts.
50.
August 6th through the 9th, the PGA Championship in golf.
100.
August 24th, U.S. Open Tennis, round one.
Zero.
Zero? Why?
U.S. Open? Are you familiar with what city in America that bad boy is in? Yo, you're not holding a major tennis tournament in New York City with the number of cases they got going on. That's just not smart, and that is not cool. They should not do that whatsoever. Just look at the numbers.
All right, September 10th, the NFL opener.
This is the hard one. I'm going to say 65%.
Wow, that's higher than I thought.
Yeah. All right.
5 days later, on September 15th, Stanley Cup Final Game 1.
Ooh. What are we even doing in the NHL? Are we host-sitting it? Are we all going to Vancouver for 3 months?
No, remember they're going to do
LA's
hub.
Even in the mix? What's happening there?
Probably Las Vegas is what we're hearing.
Oh, Vegas? That knocks changes down to about a 20.
Okay,
anybody
wow.
making it through no Vegas week?
All right, last day of September, NBA Finals Game 1.
Whoa. I mean, this is wishful thinking. I mean, I'm going to... Presumably, we've gotten through my misdiagnosis of 15% previously to get to this point. So I don't know if we have to add up these percentages, whatever, you math geeks. I don't know. By you math geeks, I mean, I'm just lazy. Math is very smart. Learn it in school, kids. I'm going to say 80%. Once this thing gets moving... I think it's going to be really hard to shut it down, which as a side story or a side component is kind of something that worries me. But I think once this thing gets off the ground, they're going to make sure they finish it.
All right, two more. October 21st, World Series Game 1.
That's the day after my mother's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ma. Just talked to my mother yesterday. By the way, I put a cool picture up of my mom on Twitter the other day. She looks great.
When I think of your, when you mention your mom, I think of Herm Edwards. But go ahead.
Yes, That's correct.
October 21st.
I'm trying to stall. 50%.
And then the last one.
It's hard to say, you know?
November 12th through the 15th, the Masters in Augusta.
That's another 100%. Because they can do anything.
You like golf.
Want.
Okay.
Golf is easy to do. You don't need anybody there, you know?
Well, they lost six people this week at the Travelers.
I get that, but I mean, I think golfers on the whole are a little bit more replaceable in terms of getting tournaments on. I think personally, maybe it's because I don't like golf as much, you know, than a lot of other athletes in terms of what they want to look at. So,
yeah, all right, fun. All right, Clinton, it's you.
All right, it's my turn. So, Oregon and Oregon State, Corvallis versus Eugene. The rivalry, it's getting a new name, kiddos. The two schools announced Friday that they are dropping the Civil War moniker from their matchups. According to the Oregon State president, Edward Ray, the phrase Civil War was first used to describe the rivalry in the 30s. No new name has been determined for the rivalry, but it kind of, you know, 2020 doesn't exactly sit right. Quote, changing this name is overdue as it represents a connection to a war fought to perpetuate slavery, Ray said in an open letter. Quote, while not intended as a reference to the actual Civil War, OSU sports competition should not provide any misconstrued reference to this divisive episode in American history. Now, let me tell you something. I appreciate that as a black person, but this is one of those almost is kind of not that deep. You can just say we're moving on from this phraseology because it's outdated. I don't think about black folks when I think about Oregon versus Oregon State. And so while I appreciate the effort, the reason I say this is because when people always ask, what can we do or what shall we do? Some things you can just say, hey, we're doing it differently from here on out. We all know why. that's the good reason. And this is one of those cases. But good job out of those two schools, because that's the right thing to do.
When I hear the phrase civil war in regards to two college football teams in the same state, like Auburn, Alabama, Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State, I don't necessarily assimilate that. I don't go right to the actual Civil War.
Like I don't either, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you're going to not have a new name, you don't need to get into all of the backstory as to why you're changing the name. This is a scenario where,
yeah,
how about you just roll out the new name, you know what I'm saying, because we all know why you're changing the name. That's kind of what I'm saying. That was a weird marketing method from there.
All right, fine. Clinton, Caesars Palace has placed baseball win totals on the board for the upcoming season. Okay. The Dodgers are projected to win 37 games. That's the most. Yankees 36, followed by the Twins, Astros, A's, Rays, and Braves. Your Washington Nationals, the defending champions, are ranked 8th and projected to win 32.5 games. Are the Nationals ranked too high, too low, or just right?
They're right about right. I mean, you know, we were saying last year as fans, thank God these Bamas won it this year, because the clock was running out on a lot of things on that team. A lot of things had to go right. Howard Joseph Kendrick, I know y'all don't like him out here because of what he did, you know what I'm saying, in the extra innings, but that dude, he was a project just in terms of being able to fit him in, and he did a great job doing so. Ryan Zimmerman might retire. You know what I mean? And not that these guys are necessarily core guys, but you saw how they performed in the playoffs. I mean, you know, the Nats are not a team that necessarily got better. That's why I was so excited that they won it when they did, because that was what they were maximizing to do, and they actually got it done. So, yeah, it makes sense to me. They're taking a step back, and, of course, they lost Tony Rendon as well. So that team is not as good as they were last year. I think that's fair, and, you know, it makes sense. But it's okay, because the Commissioner's Trophy's in D.C.
Yeah, it is till further notice. Yeah, Funch. All right, you, Clinton.
All right, Morehouse College, one of the most famous historically black colleges in America, will not have a football or a cross-country season this fall, of course, due to the pandemic. That's what the school announced Friday. School President David A. Thomas said in a statement that the college will not participate in intercollegiate athletic competition in order to keep the campus and every student safe. Why is this important? Well, this is the first school that honors, well, it says they will honor all their athletic scholarships, and their D2 team and the first scholarship program that's decided to do that. That's kind of a big step to bang out your own football season. It's not saying that they're some sort of a powerhouse, but they're playing serious ball there as far as they're concerned. Arlen, what do you think about that?
I understand it. I think that football actually loses money at a place like Morehouse College. It costs them more to play the sport than it does not to play it. So I don't know if this was strictly a medical decision or some of it was monetary. I would understand either one, since most schools are hemorrhaging money. And Clinton, I'm not going to criticize anybody who errs on the side of caution. I've actually said a lot that any player who opts out in any of these sports, basketball, football, baseball, for example, guys like Trevor Ariza and Avery Bradley, I have no issue with it. And I'll extend that to Morehouse College. If they want to shut down sports just because they don't want to take a chance, I'm sure some kids are disappointed. Some of the athletes are disappointed. But can you really criticize somebody for being aggressive against the pandemic? I can't. How about
you?
Absolutely
not. And if you're going to Morehouse, I mean, I don't mean to knock this because a lot of kids come out of HBCUs and make the pros. But if you're going to Morehouse, you're probably not playing NFL football. That's not why you went to Morehouse. Morehouse is one of the most culturally relevant schools in the nation in terms of what Black America is. You went to Morehouse to go to Morehouse. You're playing football because you play football. The fact that they're honoring the scholarships, that's a tremendous move out of that institution and allows these kids to actually live their lives, because like we've seen in some of these coaches even saying on the D1 level, some of these guys just don't want to play. You know why? Because it's scary and it's risky and it ain't going to be that fun if nobody's in the crowd and everybody's worried about getting sick and you're not getting paid. So in this kind of scenario, I think Morehouse is actually doing the right thing on two fronts, enabling the young men who play football not only to be able to be healthy but also to continue with their educations for what they were agreed to. Great move out of you, Morehouse.
Funch. All right, Clinton, the San Francisco Giants have their spring training home in Scottsdale, Arizona. The other day at a rally, a Scottsdale City Council member, a guy named Guy Phillips, took to the podium. Phillips doesn't believe in wearing a mask, but he took to the podium. He was wearing a black mask. He walked up to the microphone and he said, I can't breathe, which, of course, were the final words of Eric Garner and George Floyd that have since become a rallying cry by protesters. He said it twice before removing his mask and rolling his eyes. A video of the moment has since gone viral and received national attention. The president and GM of the Giants is a guy we know well, Farhan Zaidi. He used to be Andrew Friedman's number two at the Dodgers. He's been a guest on our show many, many times. So The Athletic interviewed Zaidi after this guy Phillips pulled this stunt at the podium. And Zaidi was incredibly candid on the record. He said, quote, "I mean, F that guy. You can quote me on that. F that guy."
Zaidi, that's a Zaidi, radio clap. I'm applauding that comment.
All right. Zaidi going on to say, "I think anyone would have difficulty getting beyond the abhorrent intensity of his statement. But even if you can get beyond that, the fact that this guy is condoning behavior that put our staff and players at risk, like, seriously, F that guy. I can't believe that that guy is a public official in this country. It's unbelievable." End quote. Now, Zaidi is probably going to take some heat today for using the F word. And by the way, I said F that guy. He said the word every time.
Yes.
and because, you know, people in leadership positions and certainly people at the top of their sport, and he's at the top of Major League Baseball because he runs the Giants, probably should be able to make their point without using the F word. But Clinton, I got to tell you, I'm incredibly proud of Zaidi here. I think every once in a while, you got to go to the, you know what? This is so reprehensible and so over the top that it deserves a full-throated F that guy. What do you think of the way Farhan Zaidi handled himself in this situation?
I was giving you the radio clap as to not interrupt, but to let you know how vociferous my support was for this. For those of you who don't know, I like to curse with some regularity in normal non-radio life. You know why? Because it gets to the point faster half the time. Spare me the nonsense about the vocabulary. Sometimes it's the best word. And he used it right here to go even farther behind the curtain. Had I won around the horn today, this was going to be my FaceTime. That's how pumped up I was about it. So I'm 100% beforehand on this. I mean, don't even get me started about how much of a mockery that is to Black America to be out here using a mask saying I can't breathe. First of all, it's stupid to conflate these things on a news level, and it's disrespectful overall to both sides of the situation, as Farhan found pointed out. Excuse me. Getting fired up about this. Good job out of him.
I don't know if Phillips survives this. He's since apologized. Maybe he shouldn't, but he has since apologized, stated he did not mean to mock Garner and Floyd.
What did he mean to do?
Right. I don't know how. I mean, that can be interpreted any other way. But despite his apology, he, as other Arizona politicians, are all over this guy, including the governor, who's a Republican, a guy named Doug Ducey. Here's what Ducey said. Quote, "Just flat out wrong. Despicable doesn't go far enough. The final words of George Floyd should never be invoked like this. Anyone who mocks the murder of a fellow human has no place in public office, period." Now, that is a strong rebuke from Ducey. It is very, very direct. But I think Zaidi drives the point home harder with the use of the F word.
I do too, but let's also not forget where we're operating in Ireland. This is Arizona, the last state that made MLK's birthday a holiday, and they only did it because the NFL threatened to pull the Super Bowl from Tempe. Remember that. All right,
They did, so, Clinton. They did pull it, and they said, if you get your act together, we'll give it back to you. And that's how they got the Super Bowl 2 years later. They actually pulled a Super Bowl and gave it to somebody else and said, we're going to give Arizona a couple of years to see if they can figure this out like the rest of the world. And that's how it went down. Okay, still to come later this hour, Brad Turner from the LA Times, who covers the Lakers and Clippers for the paper, will join us. And Game of Games. I have a game which will test the mettle of Clinton, Lindsay, and Funch before we're through. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. By the way, if you want to react to the Lakers and Clippers schedule, especially the Lakers, we're going to talk a lot of Clippers around here, but the Lakers are going to open against the Clippers on the restart, July 30th, 6 o'clock, nationally televised on TNT. If you want to react to the Lakers schedule 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We'll let you jump in next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. Today it is Clinton Yates and Ireland. We're going to try and track down Brad Turner from the LA Times later this hour. We also have Game of Games. But the big story of the day, the NBA has released the schedule for the restart. And you talk about starting big out of the gate. Lakers, Clippers on opening night, July 30th, 6 o'clock, live on TNT and here on 710 ESPN LA. Now, on a personal note, Clinton, I think most people know this, but I will share it because we always kind of tell the truth around here. Michael Thompson and I are not going to Orlando, nor are any local broadcasters.
So I didn't want to bring this up, but I am very curious about this, so please do go on. Okay. I just want you to know that my interest is piqued.
Okay, so Stu Lance and Bill McDonald, who do the TV, will be in a studio. Michael and I will be in a studio. Even the TNT announcers at this point will not be on the campus in Orlando. They will be in a studio. The plan is for now. Now, all this is fluid, as you know. For now, the plan is for us to do the games from a studio in Los Angeles. So, and the main reason for this is, I know this is a little inside baseball, but since you said you're interested, maybe others are.
Absolutely.
The main reason, Clinton, is every team's travel party was reduced to 34 or 35 people. Once they did that, and the main reason was to increase the safety of the bubble. The fewer people you send into the campus, of course, the smaller the chance a carrier of coronavirus can get in there. So they're trying to make the bubble as small as possible. In a traveling party, the broadcast crew is the biggest group of non-players that you could cut out.
Right.
For example, and this is true for any team, but for example, on our team, Bill McDonald, Stu Lance, Mike Trudell, Michael Thompson and me, that's five, plus our entire technical crew, our director, our producer, our graphics people, our TD, our technical director. Right. There's 7 to 8 other people. So by the time you get done looking at the TV crew who travels to a normal NBA game with us during a season, and I've been traveling for 20 years, you have 13 or 14 seats for broadcast crew. It was an easy thing for every team to say, okay, if we take that big number out, we can keep the bubble safer, we can do the games from host cities, and this is a movement that's been going on in broadcasting for a while, Clinton. Mason has worked the last 7 or 8 Olympics. The last two that he did from a studio in New York. You know, and so instead of going to Beijing or going, I think he did go to Athens, but I'll use Athens as an example. This is the kind of new normal if you want to save money or if you want to, in this case, protect against people spreading the virus, the announcers are going to have to learn how to do the games off a monitor in the host city. So that's where
so
we are.
A couple quick things about that. Number one, just so you know, the reason why not only am I interested, but I think that it's worth talking about to you is that, again, young broadcasters out there, just so you know how all this works, we're here to teach you a little bit. Don't come take our jobs, but, you know, I like to people to understand what happened so that they can come, you know, so that if you're interested in this, you have an idea of the steps along the way and the people that are involved. So I appreciate you breaking that down. Now, the second thing for me is, as a broadcaster and as a journalist, I'm intrigued as to how, John, this particularly plays to you, not just from the nuts and bolts of the broadcasting, but your relationship with the guys as it pertains to how you call the game. Because if you can't see them or interact with them on game day or afterward or sort of at all in any sort of physical way, how do you think that is going to work into your telecast, excuse me, your broadcast in terms of your just not energy, but you know, how you feel you are close to the team as it is different?
If I hadn't already done 75 games, Clinton, it might be a bigger issue.
But
I've been traveling with them all year. I've gotten to know most of them. We kind of stay out of their way during the season, but you do develop personal relationships with those guys. And I feel like I know enough personal stories about everybody on the team that we can get through the Orlando campus that way. So people know Michael and I did this for the China trip this year. Remember the controversial Nets, Lakers, China trip? We called those games from a studio in El Segundo because remember, there was some question as to whether or not those games were even going to get played. It got very political. Daryl Morey sent the tweet. There was zero media access in China the players weren't doing any interviews or doing any, you know, they were just trying to get them safely home. So we've done it before. I've said this from the beginning. I'll just be happy if we get the games back. I would do the games from a cardboard box in a parking lot if it meant the Lakers get their games back and the fans get the Lakers back. I think that it is a it's a tight needle to thread. The NBA has given basketball fans the best chance, I think, to pull this off. We were talking about it earlier in the show. They're the only team. Well, hockey's doing it too, but of the big three sports, baseball, basketball, football, the NBA is the only one doing it with a bubble. They're the only one putting in huge enhanced safety protocols, and I think they've got a shot. And if I have to do the games, you know, from a different place, that's a very small price to pay. I'm excited, especially when I saw this schedule. Are you kidding? Lakers, no, Clippers fantastic. On opening night? Come on, that's got to happen, man.
It's fantastic, and I wasn't implying it was going to be a hindrance. I just know that for a guy of your experience, this is just a different pitch to throw. You know what I'm saying? And I'm always intrigued by how professionals really get it done in situations like this, because don't get it twisted, y'all. Sports fans, if the coverage changes drastically in quality, you will notice, as well as the quality of the basketball. So we take a lot of pride in this. So I'm asking because I'm genuinely interested, because quite frankly, if I was asked to go, I don't know if I would go. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of questions that we've talked about sort of privately as well as in other places about what this is sort of going to mean for the media. And I think it's actually going to be very interesting in terms of how that relationship works out once they get into the bubble and once they get onto the ground. So, you know, I'm asking you because this is a situation you're close to, and I appreciate it. I'm very much looking forward to how different players around the league, and by players, I mean broadcast players around the league, you know, sort of rotate their game to make sure that they're up to things as much as the guys on the court are, too.
Let's go to the phones. Jose in Ontario, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, Jose.
Hello, John. Can you hear me?
I can, Jose. Go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to talk about, you guys had mentioned earlier that you'd rather see the Bucks versus the Lakers in the finals, and knock on wood, I would rather see the Lakers versus the Celtics because I'm a Lakers fan, but also because Giannis had mentioned that he might leave the Bucks if he didn't feel like they were getting any close to winning a championship. So as a Laker fan, I'd love to see him on the Lakers.
Well, I'm not allowed to speculate about stuff like that, but I will say this about your point, Jose. The Bucks are a better team. The Bucks would be the most worthy opponent. Clinton, they've still got the best record. I know the Lakers beat them on the final weekend on the Friday before they shut the season down. But they've got the best record. Statistically, they're the only team in the league that is top three offensively and defensively. Giannis, along with LeBron, is a favorite to win the MVP. I know that if the Lakers are lucky enough to get to the finals, Milwaukee would be the toughest hurdle to clear. You agree?
Yes. And let me say something else. Let me just add this in quickly, though. You don't want the Lakers to go up against the Bucks in the off chance that the Bucks beat the Lakers and Giannis decides this isn't a place he wants to be anyway because he's already got a ring. Don't forget about that factor either.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
So Jose, and we debate this all the time, Jose. Do you want to see Lakers Clippers in the finals, or would you like to see the Clippers lose to somebody else before that happens?
Well, I mean, I'd obviously prefer to see the Lakers beat the Clippers. That would be ideal and sweet. But again, I'm just thinking because I would love to see Giannis. That'd be my ideal, is Giannis come play for the Lakers. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we have his brother on our team, is to entice him to maybe sign with the Lakers. But if the Lakers were to beat the Bucks in the finals, knock on wood, I think that would just give him a little bit more fuel to come back and go after the Lakers instead of joining the Lakers. It's my opinion.
All right, thanks for the phone call, Jose. And Clinton, I'm not allowed to speculate about that at all, or I get in big trouble.
That's not exactly. And like, I think that's also just kind of unfair to what's happening in the NBA season right now. I understand that's what Laker fans are thinking about down the line. But again, I'm saying this for a reason. The Bucks could very easily beat the Lakers in a 7-game series in the finals. And if you think about, again, what that means in the course of what it is, Well, if Giannis is looking at a situation where, let's say, he's already beat the Lakers and he's got his ring, well, then what does he need to join the Lakers for? You know, that's why you want the Bucks out if you're a Laker fan, because he might convince himself that this isn't a place he wants to be if it's already on his radar. So, you know, there's a lot of elements to this that are very interesting. So I want to see the Bucks in the finals because I think it presents the best basketball series. You know what I'm saying? It's the most talent on the court. It would be the most exciting matchup, in my personal opinion. But if you're a Lakers fan, absolutely you do not want to see the Bucks. No way, no how.
Where do you stand? Mason and I are completely opposite in if you want to see the Lakers play the Clippers. I want it. I want it for the city. I think it would be just great content for the radio station. Mason, as a Lakers fan, we're both Lakers fans, says, I can never root for the Clippers to beat anybody. I want them to go out in the first round, and I want the Lakers to have the easiest path to a title. Where do you come down on that?
I mean, this is part of my overall theory that the people that talk the most about the Clippers are Lakers fans, but that's a whole other discussion. I mean, like, yeah, of course I want the Clippers. Are you kidding me? Why? Because the Clippers are good. You know, that's a good basketball matchup yet again. So I know that I'm not from LA. I'm out here doing my best, you know what I'm saying, ingratiating myself, but I never thought that hating the Clippers was a necessary part of being a Lakers fan, and I'm still not really sure that I think that's the best usage of Laker fans' time, especially when the team is this good. But in this case, because the Clippers are this good, from a basketball standpoint, absolutely trying to see that. It doesn't hurt that Patrick Beverley is my favorite player in the league and has been for like the entirety that he's been in his career. So there's that. But I'm not a Clippers fan. I just like that dude. Overall, though, that's the basketball matchup you want. Iron sharpens iron, for sure. Come on now.
By the way, did you know Patrick Beverley is a former Laker?
Yeah. I know Patrick Beverley won a dunk contest in the Ukraine. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that I played Patrick Beverley on Halloween one time and around the horn. That was great.
Yeah,
I love Patrick
Beverley. I was going to say he's very easy to root for. All right.
Yes.
Coming up, I mentioned that I'm unlikely. Michael and I are unlikely to go into the bubble. It could change. If the Lakers make the finals, they may send us down there. But as for now, we're going to do the games from here. Brad Turner from the LA Times is one of the people that could go into the bubble, depending on how many people the Times are allowed to send in. We're going to try and catch up with Brad next, and Game of Games still to come. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason and Ireland show. Big day today. The NBA announced the schedule of the 8 games that each team will play leading up into the playoffs. The Lakers will open the season, the restart of the season, against the Clippers. All these games are in Orlando on July 30th at 6 o'clock. And Brad Turner covers the NBA for the LA Times, has since I've been on the beat. Brad and I have been going to games together for years and years and years. And he's nice enough to join us now. BT, how you holding up?
I'm doing fabulous, John. How you doing, man?
I am okay, buddy. So Lakers-Clippers on the opening night, not a coincidence, right? The NBA's trying to open with a bang?
Of course. Come on. And it's 6 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock on the West Coast, right? So what else are you going to do? You want to start it off where everyone wants to watch that game to see what the teams do. You want to see LeBron James, Anthony Davis. You want to see Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. I'll be watching. I'll be here at my house watching, maybe drinking a glass of wine about that.
Like I said, I'm going to be having a cookout with Mr. Ireland's voice blasting off my daggone balcony. I'm very excited about this. Let me ask you this.
Smart man. I'm going to come by too. I'll bring a mask. I promise you.
Okay. Well, I guess that's an invite.
You're in.
But no. What I wanted to ask you is this, though, is that the Clippers being up front, one of the callers called in earlier today and said, basically, if you win that bad boy because of the game differential, you can kind of shut it down because of what you're looking at as far as, air quotes here, home court advantage, or at least getting the number one seed. But I sort of feel like they kind of got to play this basketball. Avery Bradley's not playing. They need to work some things out that you can't just do on the practice court. What do you think the strategy is going to be for the Lakers in these 8 games?
You know, I'm curious to see myself. I think number one thing is the Lakers want to play the game with whoever that new starter will be in place of Avery Bradley. And if that's KCP, you do that. So they want to see if they can get back to what they had done prior to this being shut down because of the virus. And number two, perhaps more importantly, they want to stay healthy. Both teams do. You don't want any injuries coming out of this, whether it's soft tissue, whether it's an ache, a pain, whatever it is. You want to stay healthy so that you can keep playing those next 7 games and you're healthy to go into the playoffs.
Brad Turner from the LA Times is with us. I texted Brad yesterday, and I said, are you going into the bubble? And, Brad, your response was, the LA Times is still discussing it. Tanya Ganguly is probably going to go down first. There may come a time where you'll be asked to go in. There may come a time when I'll be asked to go in. Just out of curiosity, do you want to go into the bubble? Are you curious enough that, or I mean, I would go if they assigned me to it. I would say, yeah, I'll go. I mean, that's my job. I would go. I'm sure you probably would too. But do you want to go? Is your curiosity bigger than the health risk?
Oh, J.I., the NBA just sent this long, rambling guidelines for credentials. One of the things that says you had to quarantine at your house for 7 days before you came down there. Now, I can do that, except you can go to the grocery store. I can do that part of it. But once you get down there, man, even if I replace Tanya, you cannot leave. You can't go anywhere. Now, I don't go very many places right now, living in Pasadena. But, man, if I want to go somewhere, I can get in my car. I can put on my mask. I can drive somewhere. I cannot get in a car down there. I can't drive anywhere. I can't do anything other than stick around in the bubble. I don't know how big this place is. I don't know if I wanted to play golf, which I can't play anyway. I don't know if I can go do anything other than go to a game, go to a practice, and write a story. Based on all of that, man, I'm hesitant.
Yeah,
being in the bubble.
Clinton, would you want to go in?
Bruh, absolutely not. This is what I'm trying to ask BT as well. Do you think this is going to affect the players? I think that this is legit. I know that people say that your basketball players, they love doing this, but this is a major league hassle for a lot of these dudes. You're way outside of your comfort zone, especially if you're on a team that's not necessarily any good or going anywhere. Do you think this is going to affect competition just hearing the tone that we're talking about it with for the guys that are actually on the court?
Man. You know, that's a really good question. I think, and I'm guessing, that some of these guys have become used to this because they've been home since March, what, the 11th? They haven't gone anywhere or too many places. Put it this way, they haven't gone to a strip club, I don't think. They haven't gone to a club to hang out until 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. So I'm guessing they've been quarantined anyway, so they're somewhat used to this. But in reality, this is not something that human beings are used to doing. It's not a normal thing to be in a camp environment for maybe 100-plus days. That's just not what you are used to doing. You want to get in your car and just go visit a friend. You want to take a drive down PCH. You can't do that. You want to go to your buddy's room in a hotel? Well, they're saying you can't even do that. You want to play a video game? Well, only two guys can play a video game. There's so many restrictions. But I do believe if you're really concentrated, you really focus, if you have a game one day, you have a practice the next day, you're not going to have 2 or 3 days of doing absolutely nothing. And if you do have some extra time off, some extra hours off, you can find something to do. Now, at some point, yes, you will get bored. You will start thinking, man, I need to get out of here. And then that's when you have to call on your teammates. If you need to go talk to a counselor, whoever it is, call on someone to help you get through that. And just keep thinking, the end result could be an NBA championship. That should always be in front of your face.
Brad Turner from the LA Times is with us. Brad, do you agree with Clinton and I that Memphis probably gets the 8th seed in the West, or are you of the belief that New Orleans or Portland or maybe even San Antonio or Sacramento could sneak in there?
Ooh, man, I think Memphis has the best chance because they have, what, a 3.5 game lead over New Orleans, over Portland and Sacramento. If there's any team I think has a chance to get in, to beat them out, it would be the Portland Trailblazers because they've been there and they're getting some injured guys back. Now, we don't know how healthy they will be and how they'll play, but they got this kid named Dame Dollar who can get it
really
done.
Great.
So that's the team I would like to see get in, really, New Orleans. I love to see the Lakers go against the Pelicans. You know, you have all the stories, even though it won't be in L.A. and New Orleans. It'd be a neutral site, but AD played for the Pelicans. There's a guy named Lonzo Ball that played for the Lakers. There's a guy named Brandon Ingram playing for the Lakers. And then you got the big fella who can fly through the sky. Love to see the big guy throwing down some dunks.
Zion, that would be really fun. But I think I'm with you, Brad. I think that the odds, if I had to bet on it, which I'm not allowed to do, I would bet on Memphis. But it should be fun.
Oh, stop it. You do bet. Stop it, John. I've been with you to the
Wow.
Well, I bet you. But I bet with Brad, but it involves wine and drinks and stuff at a bar.
Yeah, that's too.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Brad, thank you for doing this, man. Most of all, stay safe. I hope we get to watch all this. I hope it all comes to fruition.
Well, thank you, guys, and stay safe as well.
All right, man.
Thanks, that's Brad. By the way, John, if I ever did have to go to down to Disney, if Disney Springs was open, I would go. I love Disney Springs. Just wanted to get that in there. I really love that place. Personally.
Well, I think that those of us who are lucky enough to work in the league, if you get asked to go, you need to go if it's part of your job. But I thought Brad and you made some really good points about that it's not an easy ask, especially for the players. I think that's going to be a little bit harder. Okay. So, Clinton, every show at the end of the game, at the end of the show, we play a game. Either Mason or I writes the game, and at the end of the month, somebody is going to be named the king of Game of Games. The game I have prepared for the three of you today, for you, Lindsay, and Funch, has a high degree of difficulty and a chance to be very competitive. We will play it next. Game of Games, Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, time for Game of Games. It's my game today. We have Clinton Yates filling in for Mace. Michael Funches is here. Lindsay is here. It'll be a competition between the three of them. First of all, I need to know, Clinton, have you ever seen the TV show Cash Cab?
Of course. That is a fantastic program.
Funch, have you ever seen Cash Cab?
I love that show.
Lindsay?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so Lindsay, That's okay. I'll explain it to you. Basically, there's this guy named Ben who drives a cab in New York. And unbeknownst to people that hail the cab, if you just hail a cab in New York City, you get into the back of the cab, and then he flips a switch, all these psychedelic lights come on, and he announces to them they are in the cash cab. The entire time he drives them to their destination, he is asking them trivia questions. In a nutshell, if they get the questions right, Lindsay, they pile up money. If they get the questions wrong, they get kicked out of the cab. And so the good news is you're playing for money and you can win a lot. And the questions are easy in the beginning and they get harder at the end. So that's the bit. We're going to play Radio Cash Cab. I'm going to have a question for each one of you guys. If you get the question right, you keep moving on to the next round. If you get the question wrong, you get kicked out of the cab. And we will play until there's only one person left in the cab. Do you understand the rules, Lindsay?
Yep.
All right, now, here's the key.
That sounds confident.
Okay, here's the key for all three of you. If you
sounds
get...
Intense.
I'm going to help you.
Okay, I don't know that I understand the rules, and I watch Cash
Okay,
Game,
so
that's okay.
I'm going to ask you a question. If you know the answer, just answer it. If you don't know the answer, if you are stumped, you are allowed to ask for one and only one clue. And I will give you a clue. It's like a lifeline, on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So don't, if you totally don't know the answer, say, I need a clue. But you can only play that once.
Right.
Okay,
that's
so that's a rule.
Deal.
All right. So we will start the cash cab game with Lindsay. Lindsay, are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
What sportswear company is an acronym for All Day I Dream About Sports?
Is this a serious question?
Yes.
Adidas.
Okay, Lindsay is on to the second round. All right, Funch. I told you the questions are easy in the beginning and they get harder. Funch, the medical term STD stands for what?
Sexually transmitted disease.
You are on to the second round. Clinton, tired of kicking off his Sunday shoes, Kevin Bacon admitted to paying wedding DJs not to play what song from his 1984 film of the same name, a film about a town that had banned dancing?
If I may take some artistic license here, Loose. Everybody get loose. Footloose.
Very good. All right, everybody on to the second round. All right, Lindsay. Added to Merriam-Webster in 2017, what haunting term refers to the abrupt ending of a relationship by no longer answering texts or emails?
I've experienced that one before. That's some ghosting.
Ghosting is right, and you're on to the third round. Funch. According to Forbes magazine, what rapper turned entrepreneur beat out Dr. Dre to earn the title of first hip-hop billionaire?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is correct. You're on to the third round. Clinton.
Yes.
What is the name of the inquisitive monkey featured in children's books that hangs out with the man in the yellow hat?
Curious George.
Very good. Everybody is on to the third round, and the good news is the third round is a red light challenge. Now, okay. Here's how these work. You get 30 seconds to answer these. There are no wrong answers. You can just start throwing stuff out, and don't worry about missing any. You just need to get the right amount. I'll give you a category, and if you get the right amount, you move on to the fourth round. Lindsay, we start with you. You're going to have 30 seconds. You ready? Six animated Disney films have been adopted into Broadway musicals. Name four. Go.
Lion King?
One.
I don't know.
Start just guessing Disney musical or Disney films.
Okay.
Guess them.
Little Mermaid. Pinocchio.
Keep guessing. 15 seconds.
Making me nervous when you say that.
Think recent.
Beauty and the Beast.
Two. Need two more.
Little Mermaid Sister Act?
Three. Little Mermaid's three. One more.
Mary Poppins?
Five, four. Three.
Mrs.
Two,
Doubtfire?
One.
Tarzan?
I'm sorry. Oh, Tarzan, you got it. Tarzan, you got
are
it.
Are you serious?
Yes. Here are the ones. Frozen. You didn't get Frozen. You didn't need it. Frozen. Lion King. I don't think you got Lion King.
Or yeah,
maybe you did.
First
okay.
one.
Aladdin. Did you get Aladdin?
No.
Okay. Aladdin.
You didn't get Beauty and the Beast. Tarzan.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
No,
well,
they
said Beauty and the Beast. Yeah.
Okay. So the ones you got were Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Tarzan, and the Little Mermaid. You are barely on to the next round. All right, Funch. Shaquille O'Neal played for six teams in his NBA career. Name five.
Orlando,
one,
Lakers,
two,
Phoenix, Celtics,
three, four,
Cleveland.
Five, Cleveland. Yeah, you got them all, or you got all, but do you know the one you missed?
Miami.
Yeah, because you said Celtics. You got them all six. Okay, Orlando, in order, it was Orlando, Lakers, Miami, Phoenix, Cleveland, and Boston. All right.
Surgical fund.
All right. Clinton.
Yes.
Deion Sanders played for five teams in his career. Name four.
The Atlanta Braves, the Cincinnati Reds, the New York Yankees, the Atlanta Falcons.
No, football, just football.
And the Baltimore Ravens. By the way, I just wanted to flex on you that I know what baseball teams he played for as well.
All right,
he also played for Washington's football team. He played for Dallas, and he played for San Francisco.
Ding, 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 ding. I think you got them all. Did you get Tim?
MLB 2.
Did you get, for NFL teams, did you get Atlanta, Dallas, San Francisco, Washington,
yes,
and Baltimore? Okay.
Yes.
All right, you guys, you're all on to the next round. This is very good so far. If you all get these right, we go to a tiebreaker. Lindsay, perhaps jealous of her sister Hennessy, what rapper got her name by rearranging the letters in a popular brand of rum? 5 seconds. One.
Come on, Lindsay.
Can I have a clue? Can I have a clue?
Okay. Yes. She is currently a hit rapper who is arguably, it's not Nicki Minaj, she's obviously the second current female rapper besides Nicki Minaj who is making hits. That's your clue.
Cardi B, right?
Cardi B. But Cardi, think about it. Very
That's a monster clue, by the way. That clue is an elephant clue.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Assistant's name is Hennessy.
Do you know what her real name is, by the way? Sidebar. Belcalis.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
What is it?
Big time Cardi B stan. I know that. Belcalis is her first name, hence Cardi
so
B.
So, Funch, you need to get this right in order to get to the tiebreaker round. Here we go. Funch, the justices of the Supreme Court are perhaps the best example of an ennead, a name for a group containing this exact number. What's the number?
Nine?
Correct!
Yes!
He didn't even get the clue. There are nine Supreme Court justices, and you're on. All right, Clinton, to stay in the game. Before becoming a man of the cloth, Pope Francis worked as a nightclub bouncer in what country he used to call home? Where is
Argentina.
Pope Correct, and everybody is into the
Talk to me, because I know these things.
All right. Very
I feel
good.
Like my questions are way easier than everyone else's, and almost, I still don't know them.
Yeah. Well, no, you got. What are you talking about? You're still playing. All right, here's the tiebreaker. Mariah Carey is second only to the Beatles in number one Billboard hits. How many number one hits does Mariah Carey have? Closest without going over, Lindsay.
I don't know.
Guess.
17.
Okay, Funch.
Let's say 9.
Clinton.
20.
Unbelievable. The correct answer is 18. Clinton went over. Lindsay gets 17.
Oh, my God.
Wins it. Oh! The Beatles had 20, by the way, Clinton. They would have been number 1.
17 is my lucky number.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Why? What's the significance of 17?
It's a long story. I'll tell you some other day.
Right. Well, the good news is, Lindsay, in winning it, you're up to it's your third win, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so you're tied with me for the lead, and I'm off next week. So all you got to do to win the month is stay ahead of Mason, and he's only got 2. So very good job. That might even be 4 for you. You might have to look it up. But Lindsay wins again. I thought you guys all played very well in the cash cab. Excellent performance by all 3 of you.
I appreciate that.
All right, coming up next, we'll get Alan Sliwa in here, do a little crosstalk, 710 ESPN. All right, time for a little crosstalk. We get Alan Sliwa in here. Sliwa, how you doing?
I'm doing good, John. What a great couple hours, huh? They released that NBA schedule.
Yeah, we've just time. All right, but let me tie up a loose end from the game we just played. Clinton, I realize you made a strategic error that I didn't realize at the time. Okay, so the game was closest without going over. All right? The highest guess at the time you guessed was 17. You guessed 20. Why not just guess 18?
You should have guessed 18.
Hold on. Because unlike you all, I take pride in precision, which is why I named all of Deion Sanders' baseball teams in addition to his football teams, as you did not specify at the time. Your boy goes for the direct hit. That's
pride.
What I'm going for.
Pride cometh before the fall. Or what is it?
Exactly.
Hubris comes before the fall.
That's what I'm going for.
All right, so Sliwa, by the way, somebody said earlier that on July 30th, the Lakers are going to play the Clippers. Somebody said earlier, I said June 30th. Wouldn't that be great? That's in 4 days. No, it's July 30th is the first day of the NBA season. Lakers-Clippers, 6 o'clock, a game we'll carry here on ESPN LA, and it'll be televised nationally on TNT. Sliwa, so you talk about giving the people what they want.
Jesus.
Lakers, Clippers, right. Did you just say
Sliwa's life is transformed?
I guess so. Wow.
It's clear the schedule, ladies. He's not available anymore.
All priests, send your complaints to Sliwa. It is going to be, that is a monster opener for both teams.
Well, you know, you said it perfectly, John. It's the NBA does it right. And it's, you know, it's one of those, I know. Look, the predicament is the predicament, and of course, nobody wishes they were in this position, but the NBA, we've been saying, has done it right from the beginning of not over-promising and under-delivering. Adam Silver has kind of walked this fine line of getting to a point where he felt, okay, I think we have the structure, what we have in mind. The Orlando bubble, I don't know if – Dr. Anthony Fauci has said about any of these other sports that that's the one he feels most comfortable. I don't know if he said that for baseball or football or anything like that, but I know for the NBA, he says that might just work. And then here comes the schedule. Schedule comes out. Why mess around? And I like that they didn't stay with the exact way the schedule was structured before. Lakers, Clippers, get this thing started. 6 p.m. tip-off in L.A. I mean, it's as good as it gets. And, of course, it's not just Lakers and Clippers, but that's those are the two big-time matches, and we won't have to wait too long for that.
All right, yeah, so let me put some
matchup for sure.
Yeah, let me put some perspective on this, guys. So if the Clippers, this is how much of a stranglehold the Lakers have on the top spot and the number one seed. If the Clippers went 8-0 in Orlando for the game of the, if they won all eight games that were announced today, the Lakers would only need to go 3-5. To still be the number one seed. So that's how big of an advantage the Lakers have. But Clinton, as you pointed out, bragging rights might mean something here. If the Lakers were, you know, if wanted to send a message, it'd be great to do it on opening night.
Yeah, I mean, like, home court advantage, not a thing. So it doesn't really matter. And Sliwa, I'm wondering what you think, too, about how that opening night goes versus the rest of these games. I tend to believe that they got to figure out some lineup stuff, you know, and so you can't just sort of donk off and rest just because you've got the advantage. What do you think the strategy is going to be in terms of figuring out how they're going to run their rotations and what they're going to do from a load management standpoint in these eight games?
I actually think, I mean, Lakers are in such a cushion, and John, you're saying 5.5 games up, but also for the Lakers, they get to use these eight games to just get ready for the postseason, right? Like that's the only way the Lakers are going to use these eight games. Whether that's, okay, well, Avery Bradley's not in the lineup now, so we have to now, is it KCP in the starting lineup? Like, they could use these games to experiment a little bit, get their bodies right, get the timing back. A lot of these other teams can't do that. If you're fighting for the eighth spot, you're either in the playoffs or you're not. So Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, go down the list of those teams fighting for the eighth spot. But, John, after the Lakers, you know, I think there is a strategy. Do you think Oklahoma City Thunder or Houston or Dallas? I mean, a lot of these teams are going to be fighting to avoid the Lakers in the second round. So I think Lakers have this luxury of, in their own mind, taking these eight games to prep for the playoffs. A lot of these other teams, I don't think, have that luxury because these games are still meaningful to them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Alan, the Pelicans statistically have the easiest schedule of the 22 teams on campus. Mm-hmm. Coincidence, or you think the NBA is trying to give them a kiss?
You know what? I heard Windhorst saying this a couple days ago that they had one of the easiest schedules remaining, and he just talked about how it was unfortunate for them to be, of course, they wanted the chance to, you know, obviously be in this bubble, but it sounds like, okay, well, some of that carried over. So I don't think coincidence. I think actually that's what their schedule looked like to begin with. If you guys remember before the season was, you know, postponed, as good as, and I heard you saying this a little bit earlier, Clinton, about talking about, you know, Memphis getting in, they deserve it. They've been playing great. They got some good young talent. New Orleans wasn't that far off. Portland wasn't that far off. Personally, I think I wouldn't be shocked, and I know Memphis is in the driver's seat here, but I still wouldn't be shocked if Portland finds a way to get that number eight spot. And even New Orleans, they got a talented roster too, up and down. They're very, very young, but it's going to be a fight to see who plays the Lakers in the first round.
Look, you know, Clinton, I was thinking that you know, we were talking about how we both think Memphis is probably going to get in, but let's say it gets to the play-in tournament, and Memphis is the eight, and Portland's the nine. So Portland is single elimination and they're out. Memphis is double elimination. Can you imagine if Portland wins the first game? In other words, so it becomes a single elimination game between the two of them, and Memphis is up. I mean, the pressure on Memphis in that particular situation would be tremendous.
I love that. You're looking at a person who said they should have mixed this up and made it 1-3-5-7 all the way to the finals. I was half joking about that, but I love that. But I want to ask you, Sliwa, Zach Collins is back for the Blazers. I love that player. I think he makes him tremendously better. Please talk to me about him. I was so upset when he got injured earlier in the year because I thought he torpedoed their season amongst a lot of other things. They end up with Carmelo Anthony, but he's back. Is he going to be any good to you?
By the way, it's not just Zach Collins. You know, obviously, Yusuf Nurkic will be back as well.
Yes.
John, you know, and MT, I would hear them during the broadcast always talking about, man, if this team was just healthy. Now, they were, look, let's not pretend. eight games below 500. Everybody expected Portland to be a lot better than they were. If you told me, John, if you play out the scenario you just mentioned, Memphis one game or Portland two games, as in Portland has to win both to get in, would you be shocked if Portland got in? I wouldn't be shocked at all.
No,
I mean, they're, the experience, the talent, the players coming back, Zach Collins obviously being one of those players. By the way, can we take a quick step back and just appreciate that we're talking sports for the first time in a really, really long time?
I was going to say, Sliwa has probably torn down everything on the walls in his apartment.
I don't know what to do.
You know what I'm saying? And now it's just like, you know, it's like when you tear everything down and then you realize, oh, it's okay. And then you throw it all up in the air in celebration. So I'm very happy for you, Alan.
I just have a Murphy bed left. That's it. Nothing's left. Just the only thing up on the wall, Clint.
That is such a throwback. I love it. Very inside. I'm here for that.
But John, I was going to throw one thing your way too. So you guys both got a chance to, you know, obviously hear Adam Silver a little bit today. It's still the million-dollar question for everybody. So there really is no answer yet. And I don't think there's a plan yet of what scenario plays out to where they say, you know what, guys, we just, you know, we can't do this. It does literally feel like as prepared as they are, you can only prepare so much, right? Like there's only so much the league can do, and not just the league. I mean, all the leagues, all these businesses around. It's kind of crazy to just, you know, try and comprehend what an unknown we're walking into.
Well, and we need some luck here. I mean, everybody that I talk to at the NBA always reminds me, when you talk about the Orlando campus, tread carefully. Because a lot could go wrong between now and when it starts. We need a lot of things to go right. But they, you know, they're going to try and make it happen. I mean, Alan, we talked at the very beginning of the show that a little over 300 players got tested yesterday for coronavirus. Mm-hmm. 16 positive tests. Was that higher, lower, or about what you expected in terms of a number?
It didn't seem like, and I know this, I don't want to sound disingenuous, it didn't seem like a lot. You know, I just compared
to... I agree, it's less than one a team.
It just compared to, I mean, we saw this from college football. You saw earlier today, Clemson, another 14 players. Texas Tech reported 23 positive test results. And I know football is completely different. And I know they're actually, you know, got those voluntary workouts and everything else. But it didn't sound, I just figured all those players, 22 teams, I just thought there was going to be an expected, right? Not if, even if it was 50 players, I think you would have still said to yourself, well, that was expected because now you have 2 weeks, you get a chance to quarantine, and then they start going to Orlando. Thought that number was very low.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just worried about not just the players. That's what I think about, because ultimately there's a whole family of people, and I mean that. And honestly, you know what I'm saying, in terms of around the NBA. So the players being low, it's not that the number surprised me. It's just that it reminded me, Alan, that like exactly as Ireland said, this bad boy ain't going to be easy now. You know what I'm saying? The sledding's going to be tough. And, you know, if nothing else, it's a reminder that like, you know, yeah, there's still vigilance here. You're not walking in super clean. So that's kind of where I fell on.
Well, Clinton, it is. I mean, this is the perfect example. This is, you know, sometimes we'll just use sports analogies. Everything looks great on paper. Right. You look at a roster and you're like, man, everything, this looks like such a good team. And then they go out on the court and they're just not clicking. There's no chemistry there. Everybody wants to shoot, whatever the case is. Right. This, in a sense, this plan from the NBA, it looks great on paper. Once we get to July, once they get to Orlando, I shrug my shoulders every time. It's like, I don't know. There's nothing more they can do. John, maybe you saying that they need a little bit of luck. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Sliwa, we were talking, and Alan Sliwa is here. Clinton Yates is here. We were talking at the start of the show about the decision, LeBron's decision, which was critically panned at the time. LeBron got booed for a while everywhere he went. I personally thought that he raised $6 million for charity, $2.5 million. For Boys and Girls Clubs, and then another 3.5 that they made in ads that he turned around and donated to people. I actually thought, who cares if LeBron announces on a TV show? And boy, people like Lindsay's from Cleveland, so she has the right to be mad that he did give kind of a middle finger to his hometown, but he made good on that. He came back and rectified that. What are you looking back? Do you think LeBron regrets the decision?
Whether he regrets it, I don't think he regrets it. I think I was listening to that segment. That was towards the beginning of the show. And Lindsay, I was with you. Like, I hated seeing LeBron leave Cleveland. Now, let me kind of explain here, because there's so many layers to this. I understand why he went. He has every right to go choose in free agency. You're a free agent. You can pick and choose wherever the hell you want to play. And LeBron, you know, obviously chose Miami Heat, teams up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. I always thought, you know what happens? You start rooting for the underdog. And for the most part, LeBron with the Cleveland Cavaliers, I mean, they had no squad. Like, you go back and look at those teams. I mean, they were the underdog anytime they, you know, were in the postseason. I remember that.
Although they were a 60-win team the year he left. They were a really good team the year he left.
Who'd they lose to the year he left?
Orlando.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That was Orlando. But I had such a rooting interest now of wanting to see this hometown kid win one for Cleveland, that when he decided to leave and went to Miami, all of a sudden he wasn't the underdog anymore. That's kind of the same way I looked at KD. I wanted KD to get one so bad in Oklahoma City. And when I say that, I'm talking about obviously the Lakers are nowhere in the picture, or they're not in playoff contention or anything along those lines. But you rooted for a player to get it in a small market team simply because it doesn't happen too often and they were drafted in that specific city. Then they eventually come back. You know, you're talking about LeBron James, and he gets one in Cleveland. I think he made good with everybody. But at that moment, I couldn't. I hated that moment where, you know, obviously he made the announcement, went to Miami, and next thing you know, he spends 4 years there.
Hey, Lindsay, I want to ask you, are you still there? Lindsay was trying to get something.
Of course, why would?
Well, yeah, you were trying to get something done. I wanted to make sure you're still there. You're a big wrestling fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in wrestling's basically entertainment. It's sports entertainment. At its core, so is the NBA. I mean, we watch these guys for entertainment purposes. LeBron basically made a wrestling move, didn't he? He basically
a heel turn.
Yeah, basically, and so if you look at it that way, that he was doing something you see in boxing or wrestling all the time, why was it a bad thing?
I mean, I get what you're saying, but I don't think that it even close to compares to wrestling, because I think the fact that, yeah, it's entertainment, but sports goes so much deeper than, you know, like movies, is which would be the equivalent of wrestling, as I can even admit. It's staged, it's planned, it's scripted. The NBA is not scripted, and I think there's just something about, like I said, I don't have a problem with him leaving. He had every right to leave, but the way that he did it was just a middle finger to Cleveland, and I don't think he should have gone on national TV to do the decision unless he was going to say that he was staying.
But even, Lindsay, do you say that even knowing he made $6 million for charity, that doesn't cancel it out?
100%, because there's plenty of other ways. LeBron James is a money machine. He is a cash cow, and there's plenty of other ways that they could have come up with to make money to donate to those exact same charities.
Although, Clinton, let's talk about that aspect of it for a second. Yeah, LeBron could have taken money or could have come up with a different way to raise money for charity. But is there any professional athlete, maybe ever, that has done better off the court with his charitable works than LeBron?
LeBron James is the best ever at this. Ever since he was 15 years old, he's done every single thing right except this one thing. In some people's minds. And here's what I'm saying about this. And I get where you're saying, Lindsay, for 100%. But let me tell you what that moment was. And I said this before on the show. Number one, it was the player empowerment genesis story for this current generation of NBA players in terms of one simple thing. LeBron James said to Cleveland, I'm LeBron James, you're Cleveland, I got a thing to do, and I'm going to go do it. And I get why that's harsh, and I get why that is insensitive, and I get why the timing was poor, but look at the result. He's LeBron James.
But
you know,
don't you think he
at some
the
point,
he, if he,
no,
he made that
that's what I'm saying.
No,
not at all. That's what my point is. I'm not saying he had to exit that way, but that had a lot to do with his motivation to become the LeBron James global product we are now, as opposed to LeBron James of Akron. I think that's what happened there, that if you were not a fan of the Cavs, was easy to see, but was extra painful if you're from Cleveland.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Okay, so Lindsay, what I was going to ask you is, and by the way, let me make this point that I made earlier. Lindsay's allowed to be mad because she's from Cleveland. She was living it. I mean, she was there. It's a completely different experience for the three of us than somebody. That's why I'm really glad you're here today, Lindsay, because the reason we're bringing this up is ESPN's doing a look back on the decision that's going to air on Sunday. Don Van Natta, who's a really good reporter, is doing it. You should find it and watch it on Sunday. But Lindsay, I wonder, you know, Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert's pretty stubborn. LeBron said to them, you got to get me another Hall of Fame caliber player. You got to get me another superstar or I'm not going to be able to win a title here. And they messed around. They got him Shaq at the end of his career. They brought in Antoine Jameson, who was like good but not great. They never got, I think Mo Williams was there with LeBron at one point. They got him good players, but they never got him the aircraft carrier. He goes to Miami and goes to the finals four times in a row. So here's my question. Do you think if he never goes to Miami, okay, if he stays in Cleveland the night of the decision, that Dan Gilbert ever caves and gets him another star?
I don't think so. I think he called Dan Gilbert's bluff, Dan Gilbert called his bluff in saying, you're not going to leave. You're not really going to leave. You're not going to do this to your fans, especially once they announced the decision. So I don't think that he would have got him anybody, but I also – you know, looking at things now, the way that they planned out, I'm glad things happened the way that they did, because if he never did that and he never left, people would never have been mad at LeBron. If he didn't leave, we never would have got Kyrie, and they probably would have never had a championship because he probably never would have come back. I think it all worked out the way that it was supposed to. And, you know, you could even say maybe he planned it this way all along.
I was going to say, Lindsay, you're right. Maybe he did plan it, but I don't think, Clint, you mentioned this, I don't think you guys believe when he made the announcement, you know, when you guys say he was trying to, he stuck his middle finger up to Cleveland. Like, I think there's a very good chance that never, I don't want to say never crossed his mind, but like, why would he have, I don't think he would have any hatred towards Cleveland. I think he thought this was his idea. This is how he was going to do it. John, playing to your point, he's doing this also, and he's raising money for charity. Like, I genuinely feel like that's.
I would even explain it differently. I think Jim Gray came to him, and Jim's a smart guy, and said, and he went to Maverick Carter, and he went to LeBron's people, and he said, "I got an idea. You know, people are fascinated with LeBron's free agency and where he's going to go. Regardless of where he's going, just the announcement itself would be a huge ratings bonanza, and we could raise $6 million for charity. Do you think, putting in that context, LeBron would do it?" And I think you're right, Alan. He looked at, well, whoever gets me is going to be really happy. It's going to be a really exciting moment. And I don't know if he ever stopped to think how it would land in Cleveland if he left.
Well, and let me say this about that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he thought that. I mean, John, I agree with you on that. But I also think he thought, hey, I'm LeBron, reminder, I'm the one you've been watching this whole time. You should still like me. You know, like, I think there was
totally
a part of him that legitimately
totally
thought, why would you be mad? You just got to watch me play. I'm from Akron in Ireland. That's where I'm from on this. I think that if you're a reasonable person and you're LeBron, you're thinking, are you serious? I know the jersey burning is sort of a specific thing that got out of pocket, but like, I was surprised by how angry and how long Cleveland was angry, just on a person-to-person level, Ireland. You know,
I think he was surprised too. He could not believe that people in Cleveland would think so low of him, especially when he came back the first time and people booed him off the court.
How about Dan Gilbert's letter? Remember Dan Gilbert's letter that night?
Horrible idea.
The next day?
Awful idea. And I think, you go back and read that letter, it's just cringeworthy, but I think it says a lot about LeBron that he looked the other way and said, you know, the best story for my legacy would be me to go back to my hometown and rewrite this chapter of history. And he pulled it off. I don't know if there's a comp in that anyone's ever been able to do that. We got to take a break. We'll come back. More crosstalk. Slee was here. Clinton Yates is here. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great cross-trade service for our listeners right now. $99 drain cleaning. Go to powerproplumbing.com. Clint, what are you more excited about right now? You got 60 games in baseball. You got this NBA tournament about to come up. You got to be feeling pretty good right now about both of these sports.
I'm feeling better about basketball, mainly because their task at hand is a little bit more sensible. They're trying to finish and complete a season. I think the baseball is still trying to get this plane in the air, and they're dealing with just a larger footprint of situations. They're also dealing with a sport that's going to look very different. You know, basketball is still going to be basketball. I don't really know what this baseball product is going to look like. However, as I said on Sedano's show yesterday, the Dodgers are the team that benefit from the universal DH the single most in the major leagues because of their platoon situation in the middle of their lineup. They got about four or five guys who could bat anywhere. That is excellent for them. So the Dodgers are in good shape. I just don't know if they can get a season in.
John, did you mention yesterday, was it on the schedule, the what is it, Dodgers have the fourth easiest schedule in the majors? Is that where they're at?
Say that again, Alan. You broke up there just for 1 second.
The Dodgers have the fourth easiest schedule. Is that what you mentioned? I thought you mentioned that yesterday.
Yesterday,
Major League Baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, the Dodgers, I think, you know, everybody's worried about this shortened season. Guys, I would be absolutely floored.
I agree.
Shocked if the Dodgers didn't make the playoffs. Shocked.
Yeah, that would be a
fit. I mean, they're just too loaded, and they can sustain multiple injuries. And like last year, the Dodgers had a great team. They just ran into a Nationals team that was super hot and riding the wave of two elite pitchers in Strasburg and Scherzer. Yep. And, you know, could they run into that again? Sure. But over a 60 game, I know it's not a huge sample size, Clinton, but 60 games isn't 10 games. I mean, the Dodgers are going to have, if not the best record, one of the best records in the league.
No, but 60 games does put you in a very tight spot because of the injury situation. Now, you know, because I was, you know, you talked to big leaguers about this, and this is the main thing that they're worried about, which is basically one injury might end your season because of the timing it's going to take to get back and quarantine and all that. So health is a factor for the Dodgers. Talent is not. And I think that, you know, that you, like you said, they should be the favorites. And they are the favorites. And I almost think that in kind of a weird way, like, I know this is unfair to Dave, but like, dog, you should win this. You know, if everything else stays level as far as talent is concerned, as far as health is concerned, you know, we talked about the Nationals taking a step back. You know, they lose Rendon. Howie Kendrick ain't getting no younger, and he was a bit part who excelled throughout the season, you know, to find that leadership role. Ryan Zimmerman might not come back. They're the champions, and they're regressing, you know, and the Dodgers are a team that I think is in, you know, a real spot to do something strong here. And if they can't, you know, that's too bad because, you know, I really think this is a team that you can look forward to and have a lot of hope in, you know, probably more so than any other team in the bigs, you know, the best show in town.
And Clint, it's not, I don't think it's unfair at all. I think that's the expectations, right? Like, I think this is, what more can you ask for from just the Dodger organization perspective? You've been there, right? It's not this, oh, well, you're in this learning curve, or you just have to get that far, and then you got to lose a couple times before then you get over that hump. I mean, Dodgers have done everything except win the World Series. Now, you mentioned, you know, injuries can play a big part. Adam Silver put it this way in his, you know, conference call that he had earlier today. They're kind of treating COVID-19, if somebody tests positive for COVID-19, kind of referring to it as an injury, right? Like that person's out for 2 weeks, let's say. Right. In baseball, you're out for 2 weeks this upcoming year. It's going to be the same for Major League, for the NBA as well. I mean, obviously that could be the difference of you winning or not. You're out 2 weeks. That's almost a quarter of the season, right? Like
exactly.
if you just think about it from that terms, just 60 games, I mean, unfortunately, somebody can win the World Series this year, not because they were the best team, but maybe they were hit least with COVID-19 or they had the least amount of injuries.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough situation. But like I said, I just hope the product on the field is worth watching simply because of that injury factor and the warm-up element and the spring training factor. I mean, guys are going to get out there and guys are going to ball as best that they can. I just hope that we can recognize it as major league quality.
So I had a story yesterday in Headlines, Clinton, that a lot of people think the Angels might be a sleeper team.
And one of the reasons,
well, because they figure star quality in a 60-game season, the stars are worth a little bit more. And they have Mike Trout, and they have a healthy Shohei Ohtani, and they're betting on Anthony Rendon. How good, you're a Nationals fan, how good is Anthony Rendon? Is he like...
Anthony Rendon is the reason why when the team was 15 and whatever and turned it around in May that they were that bad. He was the best infielder on the team from a fielding standpoint. And he's the best contact hitter on the team from the plate. He's got the fastest hands in the league from a guy who bats on the right side, as far as I'm concerned. And he's a quiet leader. They get much better with him. But, I mean, dang, there's still the Halos, man. I don't know that I'm just going to bet that.
Well, and where, I don't know if they have the pitching. I mean, somebody's got to pitch.
I don't know that Otani's going to come in and all of a sudden just reroute the staff. You know what I'm saying? That's still kind of a
question. He may not even pitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Just hit.
It's still kind of a question as to what kind of player he's even going to be. And trust me, I'm a massive Otani fan. So that question is important to me. So the Halos just have too many moving parts that are not yet fit on the chassis, if you will.
Well, I love the Joe Madden hire, though. I love Joe Madden coming in. I think that could be really good. Sliwa, what do you got coming up on the show tonight?
All right, a lot of NBA. All right, so if you're driving out there, we'll spend a lot of time on the NBA. Andy Kamenitsky will join the show, and then Dave Denholm will talk some soccer. MLS coming back July 8th. LAFC schedule just came out recently, too.
All right, so we've got all that coming up. Clinton, you're going to love this. We just got a tweet from someone named Bobby Lee that just says, Yates, and then a greater than sign, and then the word Mace. Yates, greater than Mace.
I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm already part of too many controversies in one day.
Between Jeff Passan calling him out and even someone in the world anywhere suggesting that Clinton is better than Mace, Mace will come breathing fire on Monday. We got that to look for. Clinton, thank you for doing this, man. Always a pleasure.
Of course. Always. Never right. Sure. I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah,
John, enjoy Pebble Beach.
Yeah, I will. Thanks, man. Sliwa Show next, 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.